It is Monday, and that means you are getting more Kamala content. And welcome to the penultimate place to get your Marvel news, our MCU reviews, and fireside chats on all things Marvel. This is episode 53 of the Marvel Mondays Initiative, and today's topic is our Miss Marvel season series review. I don't know if they're getting another season. It might just be a series. I'm not sure. But if you're listening on your favorite podcast service, feel free to give us a good rating on that platform. Helps the algorithms and helps us grow our audience. And if you're watching on YouTube, consider dropping a like and a sub. And don't forget to hit the bell to get notifications for when we go live with all our shows like The Penultimate Game Show, The Cross Media Show, and Anime Nation. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christian Macias, your curator of cinema and host for the evening. Alongside me today, no Eric. He is diligently working, so we gave him the day off. We said, fine, don't come to work.
Just call it what it was. We put him on administrative leave.
He's on administrative, yeah. Paid leave.
Yeah. No, it's unpaid.
That voice you're hearing, running at the war table, our one and only director of operations, Ben Guerrero. Hello.
What's up? How's it going, guys?
For a second, I thought you were doing the what's up?
No. This isn't the 2000s, Christian.
We should bring that back. Maybe that should be my new intro every single time.
I'm here for it. It's a good one. It's better than you moaning. That's all I have to say.
Oh, and that other voice you may have heard just for slightly off in the background. The host of Anime Nation. The King of the Souls. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a title. I couldn't think of anything. I'm sorry. Ryan the Lion 3055. Hello, my friend.
How's it going, man?
I'm chilling. I missed you. Yeah. Didn't I just see you? Oh.
Yeah, we just saw each other
on
last
Penn
week.
Game Show. Yeah, that's right. Oops.
I tried to talk more about it. Where I make an appearance here.
That's true. We're happy to have you.
Yeah.
Before we get into Marvel discourse, let's give you some housekeeping for the day. Reminder, if you didn't know, as of last week, we dropped our Twitch affiliation. Try to grow that audience in more wide markets. We're going live on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitch channel all simultaneously. So wherever you are watching, say hello to us. Drop a chat. Drop a hello in the chat. And of course, are we doing anything this week aside from what I'm about to say? During the weekend?
I don't think so. So last week, me and Griffin got together and talked all about Young Justice. And you know what? You cowards. Nobody showed up for it. Me and Griffin had a great time. Great time. Just me and him.
I've never even finished season 3.
You're a monster. You should.
I didn't even start season 3.
We're on season 4, so we just finished season 4. So you guys are all monsters, and this is the reason why this show is failing. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy.
So much TV.
This is probably one of the greatest animated superhero shows of all time. So just get your priorities in line. That's a good question. I don't really know, Christian. Is there any gaming news coming out this week that we know of?
Yeah, there's always gaming news. Every day.
Stray Impressions.
That's tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
As Dusk Falls comes out tomorrow as well. It's Game Pass. An 8-player multiplayer as well.
Isn't that the...
multiplayer?
It has better reviews than Stray right now.
Oh, yeah. It's
Isn't that the art?
And
the artsy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's even possible to get better reviews than Stray. Like.
Well, it is. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Fair enough. But
brighter note.
I don't know. We'll see what happens this week.
Well, while Ruben figures out the week, on the weekend it is our anniversary stream, and we are doing a video game decathlon extraordinaire. 5 games, 4 contestants.
Yeah.
So far. And 1 winner. So tune in on Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, if I remember correctly. 4 p.m. Eastern. Get the.
To win them all.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm gonna make sure I have everything downloaded before we go on the weekend.
And I just want to say right here, since the two, well, it's really mainly one culprit talking shit, a lot of shit talking, but let's not forget that this guy also lost last the Fuck, I forgot what it's called. Super Mario Golf? Fuck, what was it? Extravaganza.
Mario Golf Extravaganza?
Who lost that?
Ryan? Well, me certainly and Ryan. Certainly not me. Me and Ryan, yeah.
I didn't play in that.
Oh, yeah. You're right. But you definitely lost really, really badly in Mario Party. So let's not forget that either.
I did get washed in Mario Party. That counts for nothing.
Yeah.
That's
which Mario reminds Party. Me, I actually went in and wrote notes for the breakdown of points for each and every game. We can go over that like right after the show ends. I can just give you a rundown and see what you think.
Okay. Sounds good.
And for the listeners, the games we're doing, we're going to start with Fall Guys. Move into a front nine of Mario Golf. Get in two rounds of Fortnite. A couple of tournaments of Rocket League. And then ending with a winner-take-all Grand Prix of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Can't wait.
Let's see if all that time I spent in college playing Rocket League pays off.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. And as always, friendly reminder. Feel free to leave your thoughts and questions on our SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/penultimateconquest. I actually even pulled Twitter today with the Penultimate Conquest Twitter asking what your thoughts were on our topic of the show, which is the season of Ms. Marvel. And Hugo, as always, went in.
Oh, what does Hugo have to say?
You'll find out in just a minute. But before that, let's dig into some Marvel news. San Diego Comic-Con is rapidly approaching, and Marvel is supposedly going to have a huge presence in it before... I mean, we don't know what's in it, but we can speculate. So I'll ask this. What are we expecting out of Marvel San Diego Comic-Con?
Ryan, would you like to start this off? Because I have a lot of thoughts.
Comic-Con? Let me see here. What's our next movie we got? It's Black Panther, right?
Black Panther yep. in September, if I remember correctly.
November.
Probably your first teaser of Black Panther would be my guess of the big thing they show there. Because they always
you're
show
right.
one teaser that is usually then gets recorded on everyone's phones.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get released online for a couple of days. And that's my guess. And then, of course, everyone has been seeing all the actor stuff getting thrown around about the castings that people are going to call. I don't know if any of those are going to happen, but my big call is that you'll see Wakanda Forever trailer, or at least teaser.
That's a good call. I'm wondering if we get
it's a safe
news.
Bet, though, Ryan, it's a safe bet.
It is a safe bet.
Coward.
Safe bet.
I respect it, though. I wonder if we're getting news on a director, if there is a new director for the Fantastic Four movie, and if there's a title for it.
They said they were announcing that at D23.
You are right. When is D23?
September 5th through the 8th, I will be at it.
Oh!
Oh! Where is it? Anaheim?
Anaheim, yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Now, there have been a couple of leaks as well. Actually, before that, Ruben, your thoughts.
So, before I get into it, I want to say I think that I know one of the leaks, but I'm not really sure. I'll wait for Christian to bring it up. But I am expecting... Listen, Phase 4 is almost over, if I remember correctly.
It is like halfway through.
Halfway through. Really? I could have sworn... When's the last time we had that... When was that big...
You asked this last week, or like 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
I don't think so.
Oh, when do we have the last, like... wrote like the layout
when we saw the announcement for Blade and all that stuff for Phase 4 I guess
probably that last was, year wasn't it 2 years ago
that was two and a half almost 3 years ago because of COVID
San Diego Comic-Con right
it was actually the last D23 because I was in the room for it
fuck okay then I,
wow
I don't know I have a feeling we'll have I don't know. What could you break at San Diego Comic-Con that you have to save, that you can't
the
break?
The cast of Fantastic Four?
No, maybe you D23 see, that's though. A D23. Yeah, exactly. You see, that's a D23 thing. I think we get into more specifics with what else is happening. The latter half of Phase 4. We might see some more Blade stuff. We might see some more... like Ryan said, Wakanda Forever is, I guarantee you that's the first thing that we're going to see. Wakanda Forever trailer.
All of a sudden going the safe route, huh?
No, I just said we're going to see, you know what? Okay, I'm going to, let's go with the risky stuff. I think right here, we're going to see what the next mutant that pops up in the MCU. We're just going to get it announced.
I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
Because we haven't even had any kind of conversation about that. So
you wanted me to go hard. Okay. So this has been going hard.
I got one that could tie into Fantastic Four real quick that I was thinking about. That isn't, because I don't think he's going to appear in Fantastic Four first. And that's going to be the casting for Doctor Doom. Because I think Doom will appear long before we get a Fantastic Four movie, that we will have Doom as a character in the MCU.
So my hope was for, like, this saga, eventually I was expecting Doom to be the bad guy, like the big bad. So it's hard for me to take that as an exception, as an answer, I guess, just because, like, you know, Fantastic Four, don't get me wrong, they're a good group of people, you know, but, like, that's all they really got besides Silver Surfer, right?
You're basing it off the movies, though, you know?
Fantastic. They have some of the best comics ever.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, the villains.
Oh, no, you have him, you have Fin Fang Foom. You which have I also a thought lot of villains also added in to Marvel already. But then you have all of the space stuff you get into. You can, they also spacefaring alongside, like, Guardians and stuff. So they meet Celestials, like Galactus and stuff.
Yeah. So the things that I could possibly think of, like, I expect there to be a lot of repercussions coming out of the Fantastic Four movie just because they're so cosmic, you know? They deal with a lot of cosmic entities. I have a feeling maybe the next, like, overarching villain that'll probably pop up in the next couple of movies, maybe one or two, is probably going to be Silver Surfer. But that's all I got.
I am pressing X to doubt on that part for myself.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't see it.
That's fair. What do you got?
One leak that's supposedly happening is that we're getting details on Captain America 4. With the title of that movie and like costumes and screen grabs, supposedly. I can buy that. And I'm with Ryan, where I think we're going to be seeing a lot of stuff that's coming soon that's on the dock. And I'm going to guess it's mostly TV stuff. Like, I think you might get some kind of teaser maybe for Secret Invasion. Maybe casting, like, details, like a look at the Thunderbolts, if that's going down. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you also have this on your list, but apparently I saw on Twitter today, Anthony Starr is a pretty busy guy, you know? He's got The Boys, and apparently he's
what in else?
Blade. He's gonna be in Blade.
Wow. He's a great actor.
He might be as Dracula, yeah. So.
Oh!
We'll see.
Oh! You know? I would love details on Blade, dude. Yeah, I'm all in.
Who knows? We'll see.
When is we expecting Blade? Did they even
get that? Next fall?
Fall,
I believe so. No, that is 1998 Blade. I don't need that one.
That's also coming out next fall. Yeah.
November 13, 2023 is Blade. What was the other thing you said?
Who?
I was talking about the 1998 Blade.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, I don't. When is San Diego Comic Con going down? I think it's the end of this week, or is it next week?
Next week.
No, this week. Isn't it? Hall H?
Yeah.
This Thursday?
Yeah.
There you go.
Shit. Okay.
So, be on the lookout for Marvel news this Thursday if you're excited. Oh, news on Deadpool 3, I think, was also expected as well.
Apparently, Deadpool was supposed to be in Multiverse of Madness as well.
He was not supposed to be. It was part of the concept.
It could have been possible, you know? We could have had Ryan Reynolds. But, like, the shitty Ryan Reynolds, you know? From
the X-Men Origins? That joke was already done, though.
That what?
Well, I'm glad.
That joke was done already in Deadpool 1, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, since they have to kill a universe off, you know? So we might as well just do it again.
I, for one, am happy that Deadpool was not in it. That's... No.
Greetings,
I'm glad it wasn't. I'm with you on that one.
Let's get into our topic of the show, which is our Ms. Marvel season review. And I want to start off conversation with, of course, the finale. What did everyone think? Was this finale like the others, or was it a thumbs-up kind of finale? Let's start with Ruben.
I'm going to be real honest with you. This finale was not like the others, just because of one word.
Don't say it. We are saving that for the end.
Okay. But if it didn't have that one word, I would have said it was just like the others. It started off strong.
What does that have to do with anything, though? There's no way.
It brought the hype.
That is like an epilogue moment.
It still brought the hype. You know? It brought the... Am I wrong, guys?
It's cool. It's cool.
It's cool.
But... What, you got more to say on it, Ruben, on the ending?
I was just going to say, as a whole, it got real sloppy for second half of the show. But...
I can somewhat agree with that, for sure.
It's still top five for me, and that's saying something. So, I'll leave it at that.
Ryan, how are you feeling?
So, my whole problem with this show is it's a tale of two halves. I think some parts of the show are handled really, really well. Some parts are not. I think going back to Jersey, having it all be that, I think that helps the show a lot. I think it thrives there. And I also think giving her stretchy powers, giving her the powers that we know her for, that we all expected her to have, that's cool too. Now, the CGI for that fight scene was horrendous. Some shots in that fight scene were terrifying. And not in a good way. They were just ugly. But as of the way a lot of these Marvel shows don't know really how to end themselves or how to put a brakes on a story, I think this does it really well. It gets you excited with some things in the end. And it wraps up the story that they were writing in this that about Kamala Khan getting powers, learning what to do with those powers, where they come from, how they work, all that, and coming to terms with being the hero. And I think it does a really good job as that, but I think this whole show has done a really good job just having a very human hero. Because when you look at a lot of the original base MCU heroes, there's not a lot of humanity in them. They are oversized super soldiers or billionaires in iron suits. To have it be just a kid from Jersey really helps it. And you can really feel that throughout the episode and throughout the series as a whole. But I think it's, for an ending for a Marvel TV show, I liked it. It's better than most.
I think I'm weirdly enough on the... I'm towards the Ryan spectrum, but I'm past the Ryan spectrum, where I think... obviously, I think my comparison to Ms. Marvel is going to be WandaVision because of how strong I think Ms. Marvel ended up landing. Much like Ruben was saying, I think it really fumbled in the middle, particularly like episode 3. When they first went to Pakistan, I did not like it. Which one was the one where they were back in time? Was that 5?
That was 5, yeah.
I did not like episode 5.
So I actually really enjoyed it. Go ahead, please.
Episode 4 was the one where they moved, where they went to Pakistan. Episode 3, yes. I think, was the wedding.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh, episode 3 is a great episode.
I did not like 3. 4, I was questioning where the show was going. 5 brought me back because I actually really enjoyed the like character development we got out of Kamala and her mom because of all of this.
Yeah.
That I liked.
Okay. Oh,
wait. And then 6 really brought it around, where I think like where WandaVision failed is that like it went from being a TV show to a kind of a bad MCU movie, and like just that finale was not good. Where Ms. Marvel, even though it stumbled halfway through, ended up still feeling like a TV show the entire way through, and ended up really sticking the landing because it didn't forget that this show is about Kamala trying to, one, be a superhero, but two, be like a daughter and be a good person and have this positive relationship with her parents. And that, I don't know, for that to still be the focus of it, to get that rooftop scene at the end, which we'll get into, I thought was really strong. And I think, honestly, despite fumbling, Ms. Marvel might be my favorite MCU TV show. I might put it at number one. I think it's
if it
that good.
If it was WandaVision, it'd be my favorite.
That's sure.
So I want to say two things. One, I do think that this was a great introduction for a character we don't know. If that makes sense. Two, I think for me, it still feels like this is a movie that they cut up into six parts, and I still have a problem with the six episodes. I feel like it needs to be longer. Or more episodes, 13 episodes, get the Netflix 13. I think you can push more exposition into some stuff, like the whole scene where they're fight. One thing that I started thinking about this weekend, I was like, wait, why was she seeing visions of Kamran's mother, like before they met? That doesn't make any sense. If anything, she should be seeing visions of her great-grandmother because of the train. But that's also okay, I'll take it. The whole villain stuff, like, we need to figure out what we're doing with villains nowadays, because it seems like they start off strong-ish, and then they just fall flat the entire time.
They were strong. I mean, what do you mean? They were strong the whole way. They forgot about the villains.
The clandestines.
The clandestines were not the villains of this. That is where Ms. Marvel fumbled, is that they introduced the clandestines and just, like, completely got away from what the show needed to be. In fact, they, like, abandoned that in episode 5. Like, it was, like, wrapped up, and I was like, okay,
but that's
then
what
why...
I'm saying.
I
feel like they only introduced it because of the fact that they needed to tie in the bangle to the Ten Rings.
For the powers? Oh, yeah. And that's my problem with it. Like, it didn't need to do that at all. And that's always going to be my core issue. It didn't need to do any of this.
I think we have to wait and see what happens with Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi 2. The beacon that's coming from the rings.
That is a problem that stems from the power change that then, like, had to be fixed with, like, writing the show, that then had to be inserted into a show where the villains was, like, race and the Department of Damage Control, right?
I still don't think, like, the Department of Damage Control should have been the villains in this. If anything, like, they should have been...
That was the best part of the show.
It absolutely was, but I feel like they should have just been... like the backseat antagonizers, like what the clandestines were in this, you know?
So, one other thing I want to say on this while we're talking about the clandestines and the way it ties into Shang-Chi, all that, I think Marvel needs to get away from being scared to tell a singular story and then tying it in like they used to do just at the end. Now it feels like every little facet of everything needs to be a bigger part of this massive whole they've done.
Yeah, but the thing is, they tried that
really
with...
This funneling all their stories in really weird ways, where it breaks up, like, all right, this is all self-contained, it's her dealing with this, that, all those things, and then it's like, oh, nope, never mind, now it's all connected to this, and the beacon in space, and all that. Cool and everything, but it makes it hard for it to feel like a flowing show, because it takes a big break in a second to be like, and this is how it matters to everything else in the world. And so I think that's a problem that a lot of all the Marvel shows kind of face. It's kind of been the crux for all of them. It's when they're amazing until they have to figure out how they fit in a spot in the MCU's greater whole, because the MCU is trying to rebuild itself after telling a 10-year story and trying to rebuild to its next story.
So my thing with that reasoning is I respect it, but I just think they tried that with Moon Knight and it didn't work. Like, Moon Knight was okay, but, like, the latter half of Moon Knight still kind of fell flat in some points. we were complaining. For me, honestly, I think Loki is probably, it's tied for number one for the MCU TV shows. Just because it knows what the problem, it realizes that it has to tie into the overarching MCU as a whole. And it sticks with it. The problem we have with the rest of the Marvel shows is that they're like, okay, we have to like put something in here to tie into the MCU. When in reality, it should be like, that's the whole focus. If that makes sense.
I completely disagree. I think I'm with Ryan. I think they really need to be telling their own stories and not be afraid to tell stories the whole way through. Where it's, this is just the focus. Like, we just should be about Kamala.
Right, but you can do that. But at the same time, like, if you're bringing in Hawkeye, I think the problem with Hawkeye is that it was a small story. And, like, nobody wants a friendly neighborhood Hawkeye. We want the big action sequences that Hawkeye should have, I guess. Like, the big ties that Hawkeye has to the MCU. You know, not just he's on vacation with his kids and he's got to train Kate Bush.
Again, I totally disagree. I think the strongest part was when it was focusing on just those character.
It was. But again, we have Hawkeye and Avenger dealing with fucking Kingpin.
But Hawkeye himself, yes, he is an Avenger. But he was also just an assassin, and Kingpin is the largest crime boss in New York. That makes sense that he would have to deal with problems like that, and those problems affect him.
I see it differently in the sense of like, it's A team dealing with like B team stuff, you know?
That's Kingpin.
It is Kingpin, but again, first off, we don't really know what Kingpin this is.
So it's the same one. They just brought him in for some reason. Right, and they massacred my boy.
But Kingpin, they absolutely did. He's still lower level stuff. Yes, he might be a crime boss, but he was blipped. He has to start his whole thing all over again. So he's not really the crime boss that we used to know.
Anyway. All this to say.
Before we continue, I'm sorry. Ro is in the chat and he says, still the most fun he had watching a Disney Plus show. These shows are just having trouble nailing the landing, and he's just so happy that Kamala is in the MCU.
Speaking of Kamala being in the MCU, I agree with, I forget which one of you two said it. I think it was Ruben. I think it was a fantastic introduction for Kamala. I'm going to disagree with Ruben here in that I don't think this one felt like, okay, I'm going to have to screw with you. I think the first two episodes are a really strong example of an MCU TV show finally feeling like a show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe towards the middle and especially towards the half, it felt more like a film that was kind of chopped up. I'll definitely concede there. But despite all this, like, I think it was one of the strongest origin stories we've gotten in Phase 4. Like, I'd put her up there. I think Shang-Chi's my favorite. Like, that's going to be my favorite origin story of Phase 4 by a long shot. But Kamala is definitely is a close second because of all the heart to heart she has with her parents throughout, and especially in episode 6, it was so good. The way I'll bring this up now. The way she gets her suit in episode 6, based off a small moment in episode 5 where her mom finds a necklace that's broken and then incorporates that into her suit and then makes it in Pakistan. Fantastic, dude! So good.
The whole
so sweet
thing with Kamala getting her getting the suit, getting her name from her dad, perfection.
Yeah, it means perfect in Urdu.
The ties to family throughout her suit and everything and what that means and all that was done fantastically. It is the way you bring in a character into the MCU. It's a great way. It's, for lack of better terms, the Spider-Man treatment of the way you do an origin story, where it's about horror, it's not these grand epic things. It is just this kid trying to figure shit out, and that's really just interesting to watch. It makes for good entertainment in television, and that's why I think, again, the part where this show really shines is where it's away from all the big stuff and is just dealing with her with the powers and her with her family, and how to navigate those kinds of things. Learning to be not just a hero, but an adult and a person. Learning to grow up.
Yeah.
Those are the moments that make the show.
This is why it rocked, in my opinion, that the clandestine stuff was wrapped up in episode 5. We're not dealing with that antagonist anymore. Instead, like, oh, we're looking at the Department of Damage Control being racist to the people at the mosque again. And, like, small-scale stuff, which makes sense, which fits for a high school student becoming a superhero. I thought that was awesome. So, honestly, if we're just rating the finale on its own, I think this finale is probably up, certainly top three, maybe the best finale of the shows. For me. I don't know. I don't know where it fits for you guys.
See, the thing is, it has its good pros and cons. The con is the whole high school fight with the Department of Damage Control. That I had a couple problems with that. Although it saved itself at the end, where it just, you know, we have the whole crowd cheering her on and, like, telling them, like, what are you guys doing, you know? But just they shoehorned in the character that she saved in the first episode. Like, what is she doing in school during the weekend? She said she was there taking TikToks because the theater has the best light set up. But
that's a very teenage answer.
Why is she in school? How did she get in school during the weekend?
Are you never broke into your school?
No. Why would I want to break into my school?
The thing for me about Zoe is that, like, it's Marvel, so they're trying to do, like, a wholesome thing about, like, not everyone is going to be the bully or racist all the time. Right, like, these people can be friends, and, like, I think that's what they were trying to get at with Zoe. And honestly, I think it kind of worked. Like, her and her friend actually have a very sweet moment where, like, why are you helping us? And then she responds, "Well, Kamala saved my life. I'm not gonna out her. It's not my place to do so." I'm like, that's a strong character moment.
It was the way that they brought her in is what screwed me up. You know?
Yeah, but that's like a nitpick, you know?
Yeah. I got you.
So what that reminded me of was Marvel still, but video game was the ending of Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Absolutely, same thing.
That's where I really felt like, and that again, one of my favorite moments from that game was the way that game ended. So I really thought it was cool to kind of have the community come together back Kamala.
Yeah, even like the Jersey cops were like standing up to the Damage Control.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was, I had the same feeling. I couldn't remember where it was. And when you said Miles Morales, like, yep, that's the word yep.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of. You're absolutely right.
When I was watching, I was like, oh, this is just like Miles.
I will say this, the whole show as a whole did give me Avengers video game vibes. Like, the whole point of the Avengers game single player story was Kamala becoming her own character or becoming her own superhero. And you know what? I it was good. I liked the story for the game, and I think this also did a service to the character story as a whole.
Some more specific stuff before I get more general again. I want to say that I really appreciated that Kamran didn't turn into the villain of episode 6. I wouldn't have liked that. I think would have been very typical of, like, oh, they have this, you know, very Marvel thing where, like, the villain is the person that has the same power as the hero, and now they face off and the hero wins. And, like, well, that's it. But, like, no, it's complicated, right? Because he's scared, doesn't know what to do, doesn't have his mom anymore, and then Kamala ends up saving him and letting him go off back to Pakistan and be like, people, the Red Daggers will take care of you. And Kamran, like, humbles himself and goes. And I was like, this is cool. This is different than what we've gotten in the MCU, and I really appreciate it for this level.
Yeah.
Very compassionate.
I was very much with you when they started to show, oh, he is powerful, he has these powers, they are kind of the opposite of hers, kind of not very similar. Because pretty much every other Marvel show has ended in a CGI fight of two people with very similar powers going at it for about 20 minutes. And for this one to be a fight against authority and all that, I prefer that much better to a fight against two different superhero beings of the same kind of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that in mind, how would you rate the show overall in comparison? Let me remind you some of the shows we've gotten before. Moon Knight, Loki, WandaVision, Hawkeye, and What If?
For me, personally, I think WandaVision and WandaVision and Loki are tied for first place for me. I would put this at a strong probably fourth place.
What is third?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. Now, I'm going to have to put Ms. Marvel at third. I was going to say Falcon and Winter Soldier, but then...
Oh, I missed that one. You're right. That is one I forgot to mention. Yes, thank you.
Then I remember the whole Power Breaker storyline, and it just pisses me off. So, yeah, I guess third place.
How about you, Ryan?
Ooh, number... It is number two for me, with
Wanda up top.
WandaVision being number one, and my number three being What If.
Wow.
That is my spicy. That's my
hot that take. Yep, that is definitely a hot take. Yeah. I won't press on that, but sure. Yeah. this is number one for me.
Wow.
I'd rather have a strong finale and a weak middle than the inverse that we got in WandaVision. Like, I think that ending in WandaVision really hurts it for me. And those, like, that front half, the front episodes of both shows are both fantastic. But this, Ms. Marvel just ends up being stronger. The way I smiled during the finale, the way I, like, almost felt like getting teary-eyed because of the family moments, nothing can top that with the MCU TV shows. Nothing has topped it. So Ms. Marvel goes up top for me. WandaVision, close second. Now, before we get into one thing I want to say for the end, we're going to skip to the very ending, the post-credit scene, which was directed by Nia DaCosta, also the director of The Marvels. Brie Larson shows up. The two have switched. Something happens with the bangle, and now Captain Marvel switches places with Miss Marvel. Are we excited for The Marvels?
I guess I can silence is deafening.
I can pick point on this one.
Go for it.
I'm very worried about the Marvels because Ms. Marvel and things that have not been her movie, it was great.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, sorry. A lot of Marvels going around right now. Captain Marvel movie was not one of my favorite MCU movies. It's a very middle of the road one, so I kind of have a middle of the road feeling for it. And so it's going into it, I am very much, this is another MCU movie. This does intrigue me. The ending does intrigue me, but I'm still a little worried about it. So I'd say I'm at a solid this 5 out of 10 hype level for the Marvels.
Okay.
I think Nia DaCosta directing is going to make the Marvels be... I think we're going to enjoy it a lot more than Captain Marvel. Yeah, what's up?
What else has she directed?
I don't know. You ever see 2021's Candyman?
No, too scary for me.
I think she is the highest grossing woman director for a horror movie after Candyman.
Whoa.
It came out.
Yes.
So is this supposed to be another horror movie?
No, I don't think so. But I think she's gonna add her own kind of identity and flair and just overall originality that the that Captain Marvel didn't have. Like that movie like felt flat and, you know, formulaic, so to speak, the entire way through. I think the Marvels with Nia DaCosta heading is gonna feel like its own proper movie, and we'll have our own voices with Brie Larson, of course, with Iman, and then I don't remember the actress's name for Monica.
Right now. Give me one second. I have here Teyonah
Paris. Teyonah Paris. Yeah, Teyonah Paris. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
I am... It's hard to be excited for this movie. we all know that I have had problems with Captain Marvel. So many problems, I actually bought it twice by accident for the Blu-ray. So I guess we'll give that out for free next this Sunday. I don't think it was a good movie. I think mostly because of Brie Larson. She didn't emote well in that movie for me. However, it wasn't a bad movie. Like, the story wise, like, it was, I thought it was pretty cool. I just had a problem with Brie Larson. That being said, we are getting a new director. We are getting two people that I know have acted pretty well in the MCU so far. And again, Brie Larson has done better since her movie. So I'm a little hopeful for that.
She is an Oscar winner.
Yeah, but like, does she deserve it? We are getting Iman and Teyonah Parris coming in. I think that's going to be a really, really, really fun time. Nick Fury coming back, finally. It's about time, you know. I'm hopeful for this movie. I'm going to go with a scared 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
What did she get an Oscar for?
Room.
Who knows?
Oh, my God, Room. That was a movie.
One of the that's a 5-star banger if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Nah, that's a hard film though. That's a one and done watch.
Rose in the chat and says, "Excuse me, she's Envy Adams. How dare you?" That alone is why she's a really bad actress, you know. But that's neither here nor there.
Before we get into the last final thing I have here, I wanted to insert Hugo's comment here.
Go for it.
We're talking about at the end of Ms. Marvel. Hugo says, "It was among the better MCU shows, but it still did the same thing all these shows have done, where the first three episodes set up a really cool story and likable characters, and the final three are just okay. WandaVision is still my favorite, but I would put this in the 7 out of 10 tier with Loki." And then, of course, he does the classic Hugo thing where he just inserts his list. He always has all these lists he just shares out. And he just shared it and then went back to his writing and says, getting to the end of this one convinced me to stop watching weekly. I might do it for Secret Invasion because I love Sam Jackson, but the rest of the upcoming shows, I'm going to binge once they're all out." And honestly, Hugo is onto something. I think the weekly has been hurting the Marvel shows. I don't know if I fully buy into this. I wish I could binge them. I think if the week leading up to the finale, I watch like one a night, I think that'd be the perfect pace for these. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so I think I know why it hurts them. It's because they feel like movies chopped into little bits, not a TV show. That's why it didn't hurt this much with this one. Because the other ones feel like movies chopped up. And if you've ever paused a movie and gone back to it, it's never an enjoyable experience. But watching a TV show next week, that's fine. That's fine, but these don't feel like TV shows. This one does in the opening couple episodes. That's why I don't notice it in the beginning.
Sure.
But when it's very movie-like in the end, like you're talking about, that's where you can really feel it.
Yep.
So I think that's why it's hurting it. Because they don't feel like TV shows. They feel like someone just cut a movie into 8-6 pieces.
Absolutely.
I have a couple things to say here. One, Hugo and I are literally on the same page, except I would probably put Moon Knight higher than Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you know? So WandaVision, Loki, Ms. Marvel, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier. Again, Power Broker storyline just fucks that whole show up for me, you know? Two, I will say they should definitely think of, like, putting an edit out where once the whole show is done, like, just putting it as one thing. Like, fuse all the episodes together and just put it.
He got the devil and he shall appear.
Oh shit!
Is Hugo here?
Hugo's here.
Why is Hugh awake, dude?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same question.
Let's go, boys. What the fuck is this? I just had to say, like, are you a supporter of the Power Broker? Like, MCU sucks. All right, this guy needs to get the fuck out of here. Go back to bed.
I agree.
Go back to bed. All right.
Here's the thing. I want to say something about the MCU. The fact that the shows that I am like not enjoying the shows because there's so much fucking content, like we're halfway through phase four and we're already a combined total hours of phase one through three combined, right? Oh, has really put a damper on like any kind of enjoyment and excitement I'm getting for any future projects. I'm like, it's just too much nonstop. It like we need to just relax a little bit.
I think what's hurting it is we are getting four movies in a year as of right now, if I remember correctly.
That's not a problem though.
No. What we're getting four movies in a year. That's fine. I have no problem with
three.
That. Three? Aren't we getting another movie this year?
Black Panther?
Yeah.
It's usually three movies a year.
No, I think they changed it to four.
Way Home came this out this
year? Yeah, No Way Home.
That came out last
year. December.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Fuck. Doctor Strange, and then four, and then... Yeah, okay, three movies a year. So we're getting three movies a year. And then we have to hold us down. It's just too many shows. I think we need to have two shows a year. One in the later half, and one in the beginning of the year, first 6 months, one in the last 6 months, obviously, because that's just how it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Too many shows are like, figure out how to make the shows first instead of, like we've been saying, cutting up a movie into six parts.
Yeah.
Once you figure that out and have that nailed down, then we can focus on, like, quantity, you know? But also, like, make 13-episode shows. Come on, stop fucking around.
I would fucking hate that if they did, because based off their release, I would hate it. And you know what? Like, but She-Hulk is going to be 12. It's, like, 12 30-minute
episodes.
Yeah, but they're
30-minute episodes. But what I'm saying is... Yeah. If they really wanted to, they could make really, really good fucking shows, Christian. They could really make good fucking shows.
Oh, I haven't seen them do it yet.
We haven't seen them do it. We haven't seen them do it. But at the same time, we just need them, like, Kevin, just fucking take a look at the Netflix shows, okay? They did really, really well. Just fucking take a page from Netflix's book, all right? From the Marvel TV show.
Two of the Netflix shows are good and the other two were bad.
Daredevil and Punisher?
Yeah.
I would say Jessica Jones season one was good. Luke Cage was also pretty good. You know, the only
I enjoyed Luke Cage for sure.
The only bad one was...
Iron Fist fucking sucked.
Oh, Iron Fist was god-awful.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to our final note here. In a sick-ass twist of events, out of left field, completely caught me off guard. I did the joke on accident. Bruno looks at Kamala's DNA one more time, and I'm like, what? And he says, like, you got something in there that's different. And I'm like, what? I'm like... Is this going to where, and then he says a mutation and it plays the jingle from X-Men? And I'm like, wow. All this talk of like where are we gonna get our first mutant in the MCU? When is it gonna happen? And right under my nose, Kamala Khan is the first mutant. And I thought like I thought it was a very earnest moment. It caught me off guard. I don't even think it was like a hype thing. I thought just like I accept this, it makes sense. I thought it was cool. I'm in. I really enjoyed that introduction. So cool.
Hugo's in the chat and he just needs to go to bed. He said when he said that, I rolled my eyes so hard and it hurt. Hugo, just go to bed, please. For the sake of everything, please go to bed. All right.
Here's the thing, Hugo, because I was almost with him. But like it's such a like almost like it doesn't detract from anything the show was doing. Like it wasn't like we're setting up the show for like mutants all together and like forget all the character moments. Like it's just like a very small thing that happens as part of the epilogue that we just move on from. Like it doesn't have to, yes, it will tie in, but like it doesn't really mean anything larger scale than that. If that makes sense. It's not reliant. The show isn't reliant on Kamala being a mutant. It's her being her. So like if that's introduced, then cool, I guess.
Jump onto that real second while we're talking about that. and say, I think this is the way you tie in to the MCU. If you want to make this, if you want to make these shows have greater meaning to the wider MCU as a whole, these are the, this and the Loki ending are the ways you do it, where it doesn't really affect the show at all, but you know for upcoming properties and upcoming things that are going to happen in the MCU, there will be meaning to this. So it gets you excited for those, but it also is not detracting from a show as a whole. Because, like Hugo's saying here, where it's the same reaction Kamala had, which was, okay, that's how it's, the whole rest of the MCU is going to react until that big moment when mutants fully come into the forefront of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So for this to be the way to get that ball rolling, I think is a great way, because it's subtle enough that you're not going to have people over-analyzing and over-going everything, little thing. And it's, and it's an easy way to ease everybody into the idea of mutants. So when that door gets cracked open or the incursion happens or Wanda goes off the rails, I don't know which one of these will happen first to bring mutants in, that moment will have more meaning. And, like, you will have Kamala being like, oh, I'm one of those, and maybe get affected by it if it's a Day of M or whatever, that kind of deal.
Hugo says this only matters if you're into the comics. I would disagree. I think people are really hyped on the, you know.
Since
the...
Now, I
any kind of...
Go here. Okay, ask him. Why are you bringing up the comics like this? What's wrong with it meaning only things for the comics? It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's Marvel in the beginning. It's always going to tie back to the comics. They have 60 years of history to tie in, and they finally have all the rights to everything. Isn't the point to emulate the comics?
Yes.
When
yes,
you're trying to make a show about superhero comic books?
Yes.
Comic book shows?
I think what I was trying to say before about, you know, Ms. Marvel and Loki's endings, the repercussions are there for things to happen further down the line, like Ryan said. That's what I was trying to say before. That's how you land an ending, for me personally. I think this was exciting for me just because, like, it was unexpected, you know? Like, we know that Kevin Feige wanted to change her powers for some specific reason. And I'm going to assume this was the reason why. But we didn't. It was just an unexpected thing that got me excited. Because ever since the merger, this is what we've all been waiting for, you know? This is the beginning of what we all wanted. And I'm excited for it to finally happen. Hugo has said, because for me, the best thing of the about the MCU has always been that they're doing their own thing, and you never needed to have a predetermined relationship with these characters to enjoy it. And now it's feeling more and more like they are doing things that are only cool if you are in the know. No, I have to disagree with him there. I think... Go ahead, Christian.
I mean, I would disagree too. I think they've always been ripping stories from the comics. Like
they're ripping stories from the comics, but they're also like putting their own twist to it. Like the
they're still doing that.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, you have to look at Kamala. She was supposed to be an Inhuman, but they changed her into a mutant for whatever there's.
Rest in peace, all my hope for the Inhumans.
Yeah, I mean,
I think comic readers are like know where we're going with the MCU, and like I've gotten to see some of that just in like on YouTube or whatever on Twitter. So like I'll pick up on that, but like there's still independent pieces. I think for the most part, like Shang-Chi still feels solo. Yeah. Multiverse of Madness still feels very much individual. Like that stuff will still happen.
Okay.
I want to bring up a point here real quick.
Before you do that, Hugo, let me just say this. Hugo, if you are trying to say something, hop in and let us know. Continue.
Nah, mute the fucker and move on.
Continue.
I got one more thing to say on this. And that is, with the MCU and with this, the niche comic book characters that no one knows all the movies that are the best. My personal favorite MCU movie is Shang-Chi because it's a character no one knew that they could pull out of deep comic lore, change to be less racist, and make a really cool movie out of. Same with like Guardians, a group of guys that was done ages ago that no one cared about. And the only thing anyone knew about the Guardians was that there's a raccoon in a tree that hang out and they were in a few video games. Mm-hmm. Now you get that huge massive franchise that is unique to it, but they still pulled from deep comic lore for it. So I think taking from the comics is a good thing, especially when you dive deep. I think the problem is when you keep to the mainstream, I agree, that is a problem. But when you get to that deep area where there's not all these rules of what you can do with a character and you can make them your own and make a unique story out of them, I think that's where the best Marvel stuff comes from.
I have two Hugo jokes.
Ah, hit me up.
One, shut up, Hugo. You just want to go watch Marvel's Squirrel Girl.
I knew you were going to say Squirrel Girl.
And I'd watch. And two, like, oh, man, the MCU is only cool if you're a comic book reader. And then look at us. We're, like, so excited for Dune Part 2 and then eventually Dune Messiah. Because we know about those books. Like, shut up, dude. We can have our cake and eat it, too.
The Hugo also says, man, I'm so excited for Guardians 3. And it could have been so more excited for Guardians 3 if it was as Guardians of the Galaxy. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm fine with Thor not being part of it. I'm cool with that. Especially after Love and Thunder, I'm cool with that.
I don't need to see Thor again.
Oh, Ryan, I'm real sad to hear you say that.
Or like Snore and Thunder.
There we go.
Whoa.
Just kidding. I enjoyed it fine.
Hugo also says he's excited for Dune because of Denis, not the books. See, Christian, I said
it. Okay. Hugo, of course. I mean, of course. Me too. I'm just being dumb.
You just
shut up. Go to sleep. He's
just shitting on you, man.
A few Marvel movies, especially in Phase 4, I've only been excited for because I like the director. That is a big part of a lot of this phase of Marvel, where I'm like, you got Eternals. Some really neat director. Yeah, Eternals was what I was about to bring up.
Oh, he has insomnia. I do also want to say, like, Marvel, I understand what you're doing now. Like, you figured out the formula and you're sticking to it. But, like, also, maybe we should
change. But they haven't for Phase 4. The worst performing ones are where they do stick to the formula. That's your Black Widows and to an extent Thor: Love and Thunder. Like Eternals was so standalone and
Eternals was because of that, and I think it's
great.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying. Like the shows themselves have kind of been formulaic, where we can tell you exactly what's going to happen in the next show just by following the formula that they've laid out with all these shows.
Yeah, this is a podcast about the shows, isn't it?
Yes.
About Ms. Marvel.
No, this is us yelling at a Hugo for text.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, Ms. Marvel, cool show. Fumbled a little bit in the beginning, but I thought it ended strong, and I liked it overall. So, more of that in the future MCU show and shows. Yeah, I don't know. More uniqueness. How about you guys? Final thoughts on Ms. Marvel.
Final thoughts on Ms. Marvel. Well done introducing a new character that desperately kind of needed to be introduced just because of, you know. Personally, it just needed to be introduced. Like, I'm glad we are finally getting different types of colored people on TV and movies.
Hell yeah. And movies.
Like, thank you.
The future is brown, baby.
Yeah. Strong start, and you know, Shang-Chi is also a great introduction. I'm glad we're getting more characters that aren't just like your average white guy, you know. So, thank you for giving us a strong start for representation. So, yeah, that's all I got.
I respect that take, Ruben. Good shit.
Thank you.
Run.
I think there's not much else I can say. Again, representation.
Oh, is always good. Sorry. I thought of something, but please.
Let me just go real quick here. Reputation, always good, especially since the first slate of MCU was not very well represented. But I think this is the way the shows need to be. They need to feel like TV shows. They need to feel like it has smaller stakes. I don't need massive world-ending stakes for a television show. I need to be about the people in this. That's how TV shows, that's why TV shows are good, is because they're more personal looks at characters than a movie would be. Stuff like that. That's where TV shows can do that.
Wait a minute.
One episode focused on a person.
You're contradicting yourself. You just said before that you wanted higher stakes, like Loki did with its ending.
That's where, let me get there. I'm talking about for the TV, I'm talking about how it ties in.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about. Like, the thing at the last scene can be the big reveal, but I don't need it to be the whole last episode being a fight against Dead Vision or or another MCU CGI Hellfest.
Yeah.
Even though this one was a bit of a Hellfest, it still ended with amazing moments and tied in at the end to her just learning how to be a hero and learning what that is and sitting on a lamppost. In the classic pose and all that. That's what I want to see out of these shows is personal stories. A bit like what Netflix did, where Daredevil was contained entirely inside Hell's Kitchen. And that's what makes Daredevil good. That's what makes all those shows good, where they're contained. Contain your stories, make them have to be in just one place, one part, and protecting one area from one problem.
Meanwhile, Ruben looked outside his window and saw Miss Marvel jumping around.
You're so funny, Christian.
Other than that, though, I think this show does it arguably the best out of all of them. And for that, I think it's a fantastic show. I think this is probably one or two. I honestly now thinking more about it, it may be my number one.
Well, that's crazy because WandaVision is number one.
My rebuttal to that, Ryan, is swag. The last thing I'll say before we close the show. Total random side note, unrelated to any kind of commentary. Aisha, the actress that played her, Muish Hayat, if you remember her, look her up if you have to. I looked at her and I was like, wow, she would have been a really cool Chloe in the Uncharted movie. Like, she, I don't know, like something about her. Like, and then like, I don't know.
Wait.
She looked like a really strong character, and she is, right? And she almost had like that similar kind of face as Chloe. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh. This would have been a cool Chloe for Uncharted.
Huh. Interesting.
Not to say the Chloe we got was bad.
No, you heard first. He's shitting on the Chloe that we got.
I mean, I have more problems with Drake and Sully than anything, but.
Okay.
I digress.
All right. That's extremely random.
He's absolutely. I mean, are we not talking about Ms. Marvel? I'm sorry.
I guess.
Now, I actually have one last thing I want to say. Because we were going to talk about that, but then we got into this huge conversation and that evolves. That is the scene with her father. We never touched on that scene in the last episode. That
Ruben mentioned it.
Yeah. Did he? Because then we said save it. I can remember that's where he said save it. But I just want to say, that's what I want out of Marvel. Those moments.
Yes.
The human moments. That make the hero.
I completely agree.
That's what I want to see, and I think that's where the MCU should be going, is into moments like that, humanizing characters.
I have to
agree. That is also that's my favorite scene from the episode, that moment. So good.
A good moment.
Before we close out the show, thank you so much for everyone joining us. Mario for saying what's up. Hugo for being awake. You weird ass.
Insomnia.
Ro for stopping by as well. I think we're announcement time, I guess. We're doing a small hiatus for Marvel stuff while Eric gets accustomed to the new gig. But we should be back sometime for She-Hulk next month.
Well, plus, look I up mean, for that. It's, we also have a couple more movies left. I think we have like four movies left. Three movies. Yeah, so like we'll take a hiatus, you know?
We have Captain Marvel to do. We have Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Endgame.
I just wish Ant-Man and the Wasp was better, you know?
It's better than Captain Marvel.
It's better than Captain Marvel, but it's not better than than Ant-Man.
I thought Hugo called me a freak for a second, but he didn't.
If only Marvel also took a small hiatus from Marvel stuff. Am I right, fellas? No, you're wrong. You're wrong, Hugo. Not a small hiatus.
You're right.
Just like two shows a year. 13 episodes.
Two shows a week?
Two shows a year. Two
anyway. Ruben, where can people find you?
You can find me here on Sunday competing in this decathlon, kicking ass and taking names, am I right?
I'm excited for Sunday. You're gonna fucking lose.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. We'll see. Since we're probably not doing any shows this week, I'm going to say we're not doing any shows this week. But we might do, I still have to promise you guys that Fall Guy stream from last week that we never did. So we might do it this week. So be prepared for that. I want to say Thursday is when we're doing it. All right. Same time as usual, 7 o'clock Eastern. Christian, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. You can follow me at ISO Christian. I've been knee deep, head down, working on the next video essay. And I'm going to, you know what? Just for you guys, just for you fellas. I'll give you an update. Okay. I talked to my co-writer. We've changed some stuff around. Fixed the a little bit of the notes for the part two and part three. I have it written out as part two, part three. We are halfway through production on this. It is probably the most creative video I've done. And I will say the co-writer, I will announce it right now, it's Jackson Wells. We put a lot of work, a lot of love into this next video. And coming out great. You should see it. You should see it next week. I'm very excited.
Okay.
But of course, I also do a movie podcast every other week, and it's Movie Club. We're doing Michael Bay's The Rock this Friday with Hugo, so stick around for that. And, of course, weekly gaming shows on Podcast BXN. Find me there.
I do have to say one more thing before we get to Ryan's plugs. You know what? Let me save it for the end. Ryan, where can people find you?
People can find me at RyanTheLion3055 on Twitter. And, they can find me here with the only thing I've said about this decathlon, which is Ruben isn't winning. That's the one thing I've said, and that's the one thing I can guarantee.
We also said that Ruben was gonna be in last place for the fantasy league, and Ruben's in second. So that's all I gotta say.
Hey. We're better gamers than you.
Is that true? Is that
you're just not that kind of gamer, dude?
Okay.
You're not that guy, pal.
I have an announcement coming out on Sunday, so be prepared for that. All right.
Okay.
You guys excited? Huh? What could it be?
I'm scared.
What could it be? Is Ryan really fired from Anime Nation? Who the fuck knows? We'll see. We shall see. Hugo can confirm that he's the worst gamer out of all of us. That's not true. I mean, Christian's still here, so.
Sure.
Hugo, yeah, I've seen you.
You'll see Sunday.
Elden Ring at like freaking New Game 4. Doing fine.
Yeah, Hugo's a great Souls player.
With that being said, I guess Christian.
Oh, we have a new outro that I don't, it's not written on this document, so I don't know what it is.
Oh, my apologies.
Oh, and until the next conquest, Excelsior.